This is the Friday, April 13th, 2018 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Despite last week's threat of a trade war and this week's shift in trade policy, the commodity markets continued to ask for proof of a problem. For the week, May wheat was flat. The nearby corn contract fell 2 cents. Even with a higher carryout and lingering tariff threats, the May soybean contract skyrocketed 21 cents. Meal, which has been leading the way, fell $3.50 per ton. In the softs, nearby cotton improved $1.17 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, May Class 3 milk futures were 2 cents higher. The livestock sector finished in positive territory as the June cattle contract moved $1.32 higher. May feeders put on $4.75 and the June lean hog contract bumped up $4.37. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index moved 5 ticks higher. Crude oil pumped at $5.33 per barrel, a nearly 9% increase. COMEX gold added $11.80 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index moved more than 24 points higher to finish the week at $467.65. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Angie Setzer. Angie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Angie, let's get right into it here. Let's start in the wheat markets, of course, with the massive ending stocks that we, of course, saw this week with WASDE. How much more upside potential do you see? Let's talk Chicago wheat specifically.
Well, I mean, the Chicago wheat has always been known to be a follower. So you've got to look at what's happening elsewhere. And one of the biggest things that we're seeing right now, of course, is what's going on in the Southern Plains. Drought conditions there in a lot of areas remain entrenched. I mean, just yesterday it was 100 degrees in areas in the Southern Plains there with an exceptional wind.
Wildfires, I think.
And our prayers go out definitely to the farmers down there that are dealing with that. So there's a lot of issues down that way, not to mention wheat also experienced a pretty substantial freeze. Now it's behind in development, but it obviously will be impacted by temperatures in the teens. There's discussion of temperatures in the 20s or lower even this coming weekend. So you know, they always say wheat has 9 lives, but we're definitely working on 8 or 9 here with a lot of that crop. Now, of course, with the substantial amount of stocks that we have left over, the feeling is, well, we're comfortable with what we have. We can chew into those and work on from there, which is very true. But we have to see also what's going on in the Northern Plains. So it's a tale of two different cities. You're very dry in the south, but you're too wet, too cold, all of those things in the north. And so we're getting to where we're feeling delayed on planting of spring wheat, and people are going to make decisions there as well. So the overall narrative right now is we have a bunch of wheat, and we're going to have a bunch more with the idea that you know, I've said it before on the show, wheat is either a record crop or it's dead. And right now, we're trading that it's a record crop in the meantime. But we'll have to see what happens. We'll be starting wheat tours here over the next few weeks in the Southern Plains and kind of seeing how that looks now that it's working its way towards, heading out and getting some maturity. See what happens in the Northern Plains. But for now, wheat is not the golden child of the market, at least.
Absolutely. And when we look at weather impacting markets, the weather is also impacting the corn and soybean markets as we look at planting. We've had crop insurance dates for a couple different states now. When you look at corn specifically, with delayed plantings, what's that going to do for our markets and our prices?
Well, it's definitely something we're going to want to watch. I mean, the market itself is not going to get too worked up about delayed plantings until around Mother's Day. That's what everyone says. When does the market pay attention? I say Mother's Day. There's some folks that, of course, will tell you that they're already behind, and they are. That it is an issue specifically with reaching maximum yield potential. I mean, you can plant well into May in a lot of areas, but you're going to be pollinating during the heat of the summer. And so that's something that we'll want to be concerned about. The idea for me, or what I look at right now really is it's more of a bearish factor for soybeans and the idea that we can't get spring wheat planted. We may be delayed a little bit on some corn plantings, but the reality is if we were planting actively right now in corn, it would be a pretty bearish situation because then we could be looking at picking up more acres, looking at the potential for 90, 91 million. That's not happening. So we can almost get to where we're married to that 88 number. You know, of course, things can change very quickly, especially when it comes to weather.
Absolutely.
But at this point in time, it is something we'll want to watch. And it is something that could end up being more of a bearish factor in soybeans here in the next 3-4 weeks.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to make sure that we got to touch on today in the corn markets is our corn export numbers for Brazil and Argentina with reduced export competition for these countries. What do you expect that to do to the 2018-19 marketing year for the U.S.?
I think it could be huge. It's been something that I've been paying attention to. You know, I've argued for a while that the soybean production number in Argentina is big, but the corn production number is potentially bigger. Mm-hmm. We'll want to be watching what's going on in Brazil. They've started their second crop corn off.
Right.
They're looking at much drier than normal conditions for the next couple, 3 weeks. Of course, it's early yet, but we'll want to see if that's an indicator of a pattern. With the soybean market taking the attention like it is in Brazil and from a global standpoint, two, you're not going to see Brazil actively working to export corn. They're coming into their soybean export period. So I think we'll continue to see good shipment pace. This past week, we saw extraordinary corn shipment pace. I think we'll continue to see that. And I think we'll continue to see interest in U.S. corn as long as we stay competitive from a global standpoint. I'm excited to see what happens during the last half of the marketing year into the first half of next year.
I think maybe even the bigger story this week was soybeans export
Huge.
Sales numbers.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Well, the one thing that we saw as soon as the tariffs were announced, it was a conversation that we had quickly, is that the Brazilian farmer in Brazilian agribusinesses down that way basically pulled their offer of soybeans for May. It became one of those things where if we're going to be the only provider of soybeans in the global market structure, we want to be paid more for them. And so it was really interesting to see how the cash market trades, and it actually ended up leading futures, you could say, because we did see soybeans rally pretty substantially this week. And that was because of the fact that, you know, our foreign buyers realized, okay, U.S. is competitive. The tariffs are not in place yet. We saw Unknown, who typically is our friend
right.
China,
yes.
come in and buy big chunks of beans. We heard the Argentina story. The one thing to be aware of in the cash market when it comes to exporting and things like that is arbitrage. So it's very, very possible that those Argentina sales could be sold to Argentina, but never ever even reach their borders. And so that'll be interesting to see. Do we end up crushing and shipping? Do we ship whole beans in the name of Argentina to China or something like that? So there's a lot of developments that have taken place. The global demand for soybeans remains insatiable, and that's something to remember and definitely something to watch as we move ahead. So it is surprising in the sense that everyone's telling you that we should be sad about the export potential, but it's not necessarily surprising if you were paying attention to what was taking place in the base in the global export market itself.
Right. And when we look at where prices have sat after the announcement of potential threats, we're almost back or maybe back a contract month to where we were before this announcement.
Yes. Yeah. We're above, actually, within about a nickel of contract highs on soybeans before today. Yeah.
With that being said, where do you expect soybeans to go? Do you expect us to see some further upside potential?
Soybeans are magic. You know what I mean? At this point in time, they really, I said it the last time I was on the show, it's like pushing a beach ball underwater. They remain that way. There is some inflationary feel developing in the market. If we were a year ago with the bearish sentiment that we had towards commodities a year ago, we'd have probably been down limit multiple days based on the tariff announcement itself. Obviously, at this point in time, buyers are looking to protect their position. The funds have come in and been aggressive supporters of the market structure. We have had aggressive farmer selling. So at this point in time, you don't have typically, like in corn, if you get a big rally, you're going to see farmer selling come in and kind of cut some top end off of rally potential. Soybeans, that's basically gone. There's not a lot of farmers with old crop beans left, and there's not a lot of farmers with excessive new crop sales open. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. The funds will be able to protect their investment until they decide not to. And so I'm waiting for the day that we get a bullish announcement in the market and end up with a bearish close, and maybe that'll be an indicator of things to come. But at this point, even seeing that on Tuesday and Wednesday, the market has not been overly excited to move much lower.
Absolutely. We're going to save the social media questions for Market Plus, which you can find online at iptv.org/MTOM. Angie, I want to make sure we hit the meats this week because
yes.
we had a lot of news. When we look at the April contract, April live cattle contract, the cash price has been a lot stronger than the futures price. What is that indicating to you?
It's telling me that the cash market strength is there. I mean, that's I tend to say in cattle, and I'm no expert by any means, but I tend to say that cash can lead futures, and that's what we've seen. We started to see the cash price really kind of recover, firm up a bit. We've continued to see that here, and we've seen the futures side of things start to recover and firm up a bit. You know, the months that you're seeing the best open interest in have been much stronger here and have actually been trading at a little bit higher level, and we're seeing cash announcements today back up to decent levels. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I think the overwhelming expectation of bearish fundamentals, you know, kind of impacted the futures market more than anything. You couldn't, you know, throw a rock without hitting someone telling you about the lack of hook capacity come this summer.
Right.
You know, wall of cattle has been
exactly.
The joke.
Exactly. The 580 million pounds that we're going to be going into here.
Yeah. So and so that's been the constant conversation, is there's a wall of cattle coming. We've heard it for 2 years now. I guess we'll continue to see if it's working its way this way. You know, I think what we're seeing really is the unfortunate concern over what's going to happen with this year's calf crop. I mean, that is a big issue with the weather conditions mm-hmm. that we're in. Unfortunately, you know, my prayers go out also to the folks dealing with the blizzard, because that's the last thing you want to see when you have young calves. You know, a friend of mine posted, my calves have seen the sun 3 times this month,
yeah.
and they're a month old, you know. So it's definitely something we want to watch, something that'll have a big impact on the cash market going forward as well, because no one's in a big hurry to load out cattle. Mm-hmm. We did see weights drop off a bit this week versus a week ago. They are still a bit heavier than a year ago, but we did see weights back off, and that's not necessarily a bearish overwhelming factor in the market structure. So we'll want to watch and see what happens, but I think we've potentially put in a short-term low there.
Really quick here, before mm-hmm. we transition into hogs, with weather affecting potential cow-calf herds, mm-hmm. what's that going to do for the feeders and placements? Is that going to impact our herd that we get?
Well, I think you could see with the drought in the south, you could see an increase in placements, of course, because you're going to be moving them off pasture okay. into feedlots. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be something that we'll definitely have to keep in mind. A lot of folks will look at higher placement numbers and think that's a bearish indicator. Reality is you may have higher placements, but your cattle in pasture, on pasture, you know, are much lower than what they were even a year ago.
Okay. Really quick here. We yeah. want to, of course, tackle hogs, because they also had a big week this mm-hmm. week. The April contract is going off the board soon, and there's been a pretty good spread between the June and mm-hmm. April contracts. Well, it might look like we have a bottom on the chart. Do you think so? And if so, how much more can we get June to rally off of that?
The hard part right now is that we have seen the June stay at such a high level, and it's seen some support. I think we got some really positive news with the Argentina announcement. That's a pretty big market. Their expansion and domestic demand down there is huge. So I think that should help support the market. But I always have a worry, you know, the
All
old
right,
adage.
Angie. Well, I'm going to have to stop you there. We'll get you get back to that in Market Plus.
All right.
Angie, thank you so much. That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but we will, of course, keep the conversation going on Market Plus, where we'll answer more of your questions. You can find it on our website at iptv.org/MTOM. Looking to avoid our social media channels but still want to let us know how you feel? Send an old-fashioned email to markettomarket@iptv.org. Join us again next week when we examine how the dairy industry is weathering another year of low prices. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.